not being given any warning, I'm going to be all over the place with things. He always espouses the theory, Rabbi Levine, about starting with a joke. He's been told, so you have in the Pasuk, this week in the Pasuk, it says, how come Yaakov changed the name from Luza to Beisel? And so the joke was, the frummy joke, I mean, why did he change the name from Luza? The people, why did he change the name to Beisel? Because the people got tired of being called losers. So... but anyhow, yeah, the parasha begins Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, and at the end of the parasha, so the question is, where did these malochim suddenly appear from? Because Rashi says they were malochim mamish, and other mefarshim as well say the Abarbanel and various other. No, Abarbanel agrees with the shocking of all shock. He agrees with Rashi over here. But basically, most of the other Mefarshim, if you look in the Targum, when it says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov, it says Izgedin, which means messengers. Azgedin, he uses. By the way, that's where the name Azgud comes from, is princely. Uses it various times in the Chumash. But nevertheless, at the end of the parsha last week, when it says "Vayifgu bo malachei Elokim," "Vayomer Yaakov kasherom machane Elokim zev," "Vayikro shem makom ahu machanoim," and it says that "Vayifgu bo malachei Elokim." Over there, it says "Malachim mamish." Everybody agrees that, based on the fact that when it says the word "Vayif," excuse me,
it says "Malachei Elokim."
Yes, but what? So we know. I mean, so we know that. But over here, so what? Some of the mefarshim say when it says "Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim," where did he get anybody that knew that he would be looking for Esav? Well, how did these people appear? That it should be that people came to tell him that that Lavan is on the way. That he knows that Lavan knows that you're coming. So and so and so forth. Esav. How would he know that? How would they know that, the Yaakov? So more than likely, these were also Malachi Elokim, and these are the same Malachim that he met at when the Vayetze finishes. It's the same people. So when it says Vayifku bo Malachi Elokim, these are the ones. So Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim is these messengers, these angels, and that's what it's talking about. But the problem, but the idea becomes, what was the purpose of Yaakov sending Malachim to Esav? What was his agenda here? And why, and the fact is, they never actually got to speak to Esav. Of course, what was the message? Was to see if they actually are really coming. But the fact is, what is Yaakov telling the Malachim to say? Im lavan garti, v'echarat ota. What is the whole purpose of making that kind of a statement? Vayili shor v'chamar, tom v'yevet v'shucha, v'eshlecho la'gidolni, l'msochein b'yenecho. And then it says, v'yoshuvu amalochim. And they came back.
What happened to all the things he sent with them? They brought that back too? He sent all the animals.
In other words, that must be what happened, yeah. By Yoshuvah, they brought back everything that he sent along. The point is, it wasn't so much to give to him, it was to show. The Abarbanel makes a very interesting point. Why did Yaakov send all these things to Esav? What was the point? And he makes a very cute point. I mean, the way he always talks with reality, so to speak. And Esav was this big, famous person, a very well-to-do man, who had a tremendous entourage of people. Arba Meo Sishimo, he had so many wives and so many children and various other family members, and he had a tremendous kehilla behind him all the time. And now, if he would be coming along, Yaakov wanted to show him that don't have to be ashamed of me. I'm well-to-do. Mm-hmm. I'm also rich. I'm not looking for a handout. If I'm coming towards you, a lot of times you have people march up to you, and you come in tattered clothing, and you're looking for a handout on some level. But not necessarily. Yaakov wanted to show him that says, no, I'm sorry. I'm okay. I don't need any help. I have many wives, I have Tzonu Vakar, I have plenty of money, and you don't have to be ashamed of me. And that was the purpose, not so much. Because Yaakov wasn't aware that on the way he would end up meeting Esav. Initially, he knew he was going home, but he didn't know particularly. But what he wanted to send the messengers to find out, what was their chief job to find out, if Esav was sitting in Har Seir. If he was just living there, he knew he was going to pass through the area. Was Esav really just sitting there, or was he on the march? And what the Malach, what the messengers came back and said was that we didn't get a chance even to talk to him at all, because what you wanted to know was, he on the march? And the answer is yes, he's on the march.
Yaakov Chacham found criticism with Yaakov that he shouldn't have gone deliberately, it seems, to...
Well, why? In other words, why is he looking for trouble?
Yeah,
well, yeah, okay, so...
What you just said seems...
Right, because he didn't know, he wasn't looking for trouble, but the fact, you know, he had no intention of doing this, but when the Malachim came back and told him that he's on the march, they were, this was a scouting party to see what was happening. So they ended up not meeting Esav and not telling Esav anything. But when they saw him on the march, they came back and told Yaakov he's on the move, and you don't know what it is.
The Torah seems to indicate that they in fact did.
Because it says Banu Elochicha, because based on the word, so what he says, it came, but it doesn't say, right.
There's no reply that's mentioned.
Because the Abarbanel says... The Abarbanel says that he understands those words, Bono Elachicha, but it doesn't say that they actually spoke to him, because they didn't actually speak to him. They just, when they saw he's marching with the Arba Meos Ishimo, they turned around and came back.
It seems to say that they did speak to him, but they...
I understand.
As soon as they spoke to him, they left. They didn't wait for an answer.
There's 20 different ways to think. Yeah. What I personally always wanted to think was, you know, Rashi says right away, why did he say Im Lavangarti? So it says Ivest Haryag Mitzvah Shamarti. What I think, basically, based on what's been going on in Yaakov's life, we have to understand one thing. When Toldos ended, when Yaakov stole the brachas, and it says Vayacharad Yitzchak Harado Gadolad Miod Vayomer Hu Eifo. So we tend to think, as children, when we learned it, that Yitzchak maybe was afraid of Esav over here, that he was going to blow a gasket, and maybe he would kill him, perhaps. I don't know. But the fact is, that's the way our minds were led to believe, certainly. But Yitzchak wasn't afraid of all these things. What he was afraid now is, he realized that since Rivka favored Yaakov and Yitzchak favored Esav, that he was hoping that somewhere along the line he could change Esav somehow, that he understood who Esav was. Otherwise, it wouldn't have said Hayodayim Yedei Esav and Vati Henamor Asurach Li Yitzchak LeRivka. He knew Esav was, on some level at least, who Esav actually was. He had to know that. So what was he so afraid of over here? Because he realized that God had been playing him for a fool all this time. I mean, all this time he was not a young man anymore, and he put his eggs in the wrong basket. That he realized that God was telling him right now, the message was, so that you have made a terrible mistake in your life. Esav is going to be Esav. He thought he was, you know, he was able to understand and see what Esav would hope to be. Right. So it's very interesting. Oh, by the way, just to stop in the middle over here, because not from this parsha, but when it says, so we bless our children and we say Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Menashe, there's a Chassan Sofer. I didn't know if the person said it to me. He said Iksav Sofer or Chassan Sofer. He says, how come we say when we bless our children? It's more than that. It's a longer speech, but Ephraim u'Menashe. Why two children? We're going to bless them. Be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Be like, so we know, because they grew up in Golis, this was going to be the first. But why two people, Ephraim and Menashe? It's a tremendous thing for us to understand, he says, is that we send our children to yeshiva. That's fine. But not everybody ends up to be the Rosh Hashiva or Magashir. You have people, what's wrong with being a Shomer Torah Mitzvos and being a good businessman, making money, and just being a Shomer Torah Mitzvos? So Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim V'chim Nasheh is, you could strive to be Ephraim, but if you end up like Menashe, that's also fine. So it's the thought is, we don't have to push so hard. But the idea was, so Yitzhak is living sort of on the cusp of that kind of an idea and hoping. What Yitzhak actually finds out now, that if it's Yaakov, why does he say that Gam Baruch Yiyeh? because he realizes that the only reason he was backing Esau for a while was the simple reason, because he thought that Yaakov didn't have the ability, he was Ishtam Yoshev Olim, didn't have the ability to be a leader on all fronts. He could be a spiritual leader, but not Gashmias. He didn't have the street smarts to be the next one of the Avos. And therefore, he would need maybe a person like Esau to work alongside him in a, as a group together.
Yes.
When he saw that Yaakov was able to be the kind of person that would steal the bracha, he realized that he misjudged Yaakov. Yaakov was streetwise also. And that I can be that type of person as well. I can do both sides of the fence. I can play Ruchnius, I can play Gashmius, I do whatever it takes. So now when Yaakov is on his way and he senses Esav, it says, Im Lavon Garti, Vuechar Arata. What he's sending is, this is my own thought process, what he says over here to Esav is not Im Lavon Garti, Vestari Yag Mitzo Shemarti. If you think that I just want you to know who I am, I'm Yaakov, your brother, but I'm not that Ishtam Yoshev Olim, it's a reminder. I lived with Lavan for 20 years, and here I am. I came back, and guess who got the better of Lavan? Lavan was Echlifes Mar Skirti Aseres Monim. He did all these things to me. Everything is, I was the one who came out on top. Because it doesn't matter what game you play with me, I could handle it with Ruchnius. I can handle it with Gashmius. I could do anything you want. I can play the game same and as good as anybody. And if you want to come in contact with me, just be aware I'm not small potatoes, so to speak. I have the ability to be like you when the time comes. But I don't want your influence. So when the Esav wants to go along with him, he tells Vanias Naloli Itil Regalam Locha, I can't walk as fast as you. Let me be alone. He understands. And of course, what we know. Excuse me. But what we know is, you know, this is where we learn. You want to look for, you know, I shouldn't say this is where we learn from Lavan, that you look, I mean, Esav's influence on some level, Lavan's influence on some level came upon Yaakov's older children, which was to get to the Maisadina. So when the Maisadina is, the Mefarshim always want to say, Vateitze Dina Basleya. So the first question we have is, why did she go out in general? Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima, wonderful thought process, a girl stays home. But the Abarbanel makes an interesting point, and it says, Liros Bivnos Haaretz. She did not have any role models in terms of what girls would dress and what girls would look like. She had 12 brothers. She had 11 brothers. And that's all she saw. She had no older sisters to get any information. So it says, Vatetei dina baslayo liros bivnos aretz. She wanted to see other girls.
They were all married.
Who was all married?
The other brothers were married.
But they weren't little girls. Yeah, that's a whole other story. We don't know. Some say they were born. What does the Gemara say? That they were married to their sisters.
Right. But there were other girls.
And what happened? Let me ask you another question. When it says B'shivim Nefesh Yardu Avos, this is a Gemara. B'shivim Nefesh Yardu Avos Techem Mitzrayma, and it's in Gemara Zota, I think, also. So how come they don't list any of the wives of the 12 Shvatim? So the Gemara speculates. Maybe they all died before they went down to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what is that logical? Does that make any sense? So, Vateitze Dina Basleya. So we know what initially Dina was supposed to be a boy, and boys, when he changed her from a boy to a girl, when the fetus was formed and the genes were formed in the body, she still had the proclivities of being a boy. And so now when she was born, she was on some level a tomboy, even though she was a girl. So she wanted to go out and play, same as the guys go out and play. No, I saw this in a sefer maybe 20 years ago. I thought it was cute. I don't know. I just took something off the shelf in the shul Friday night. And I forgot. It's a whole set of svarim, but I remember because it was cute. So this is not Rebbe, you know. And he said, so she was a tomboy, and that's where he went. But why does it call her Vateitze Dina Bas Leya? Because it was against the grain, because Leah was a very, very private tsnua. Leah, what?
It says Vateitze Leah.
Because
she was, right. And so therefore she was taking after her mother.
She was, okay, that's on one school of thought, obviously, but it says that Leah was a big tznuah, that's why she, you know, Yaakov didn't know at all what, you know, when under the chuppah, so to speak, he didn't know who it was, and he was fooled because she never, he would, you know, you could all, we would all know somebody's walks, people walk differently, you could see people three blocks away, you can't see their face, you know who it is because you recognize the way they're walking, you recognize the way a person looks in the distance. Doesn't matter what they're wearing, doesn't matter how they look, but you recognize the person the way he goes. And so Dina, she was so private that he never even got a chance to see her. But they say, so we went against the grain, but they say Dina Basleya, she was a very, you know, she was, not to say a couch potato, but she stayed home generally. But now she wanted to go out and see, she needed to see other girls, and she wanted to see how the rest of the world. Now, some of the people, there are some mepharshim that talk about why in the world did Shimon and Levi have to kill everybody? Why didn't they just go after Shechem? Well, on a very simple, the Malba makes a very interesting. What? Yeah, right. But the point is, the Gemara points out a very interesting, not very interesting, but the whole time we don't realize, or you don't even think about it, the whole time negotiations are going on, they're still holding on to Dina. They didn't give her up. They still, they're such mechutzav that they're still holding on to Dina. They give it, all right, we'll give you back your daughter, and if we come to an agreement, we'll, you know, you'll let us marry, then okay. But they were holding on to her. They weren't giving her back. That's why they all deserve. But the reality is, Shechem and Hamor, so they're the leaders of their people. They have armed guards standing around the house. There are people, this is a Malbim, they have armed people standing around the house. There's only one way to get to the palace and get to the people, to get to the king, to get to the princes, and things like that. You have to kill all the guards. You have to kill all the people who are protecting them. The Abarbanel says, in general, that the fact is, remains, they realized that if they only, even if they were able to kill Shechem and Hamor, that it wouldn't be on this, it would be a rough deal, because then if you're leaving all the townspeople to left, they're going to come after Yaakov and the sons. So if you want to kill Shechem and Hamor, you have to kill everybody else to make sure that you actually are safe in the end, that you can get away with it.
It wasn't collateral damage.
What?
It was not collateral.
Right. So it was, exactly. So you have to do, this is part of the job that you have to, you know, milchama ad ridita. You want to do the job, you have to finish the job, or else we've all experienced it in our lives with all the wars that we've seen in the last 30, 40 years. If you don't finish the job, it comes back at you. And it's a very simple thing. And so all of these things are very important to see that they had to kill these, they had to kill these people. In the Sefer Yosher, interestingly enough, I mean, it's incredible if you ever read it. I don't know if you ever read it. It gives you, with the way they killed Shechem in the town, it gives you a blow-by-blow of the war. It's like they have, you could watch the film and see Shimon killing this person like this, and Reuven, Shimon and Levi killing the people, i.e. this guy came up from behind and swung an axe over his head, and he killed him like this, he stabbed him here, he cut him with this leg, he got, it gives a literal blow-by-blow description like he was there, has the film, and there were 30 witnesses, and they came back and told it. It's an incredible thing.
Sefer Yosher says there were a lot of towns there. There was
also gives blow-by-blow description of, that it says, while the Jews were in Mitzrayim, that Bnei Esav came down to Mitzrayim to kill Bnei Yaakov, which is all these things that happen. So why does the parasha end with, I'm just running with thoughts here, but the idea is, when the parasha ends and says, Ela Lufei, Bnei Adom, all these Edomites over here are one kingdom after another. Well, the reality is, what do we have to know all that now? Because the reality is, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim and they came, and Moshe is given the shlichus to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael are thinking that, you know, maybe the reality was, when Yaakov stole the bracha from Esav, God wasn't exactly overly joyed with the idea that, you know, you should have trusted me. I would have taken care of the scenario. I would have taken care of the situation. But you went ahead, stole this, and created this animosity in the family. And it was the wrong thing to do. And really, I'm on the side of Esav, because let's face it, for 200 years or more, Esav is sitting on top of the hill over here. He's got one kingdom rolling on after another, one again and again and again. And Bnei Yisrael, since that time, is they went down to Gullus, and for 210 years, they're in Gullus. And if, of course, the last 86 was Avodah Kasha, and they've been trying to be discouraged into ever. So what happens? What is the very first thing? So Moshe says, so what should I tell Klal Yisrael is my first thought process to say something now? He says, you tell them right now to stop thinking like that, because you know what? B'ni B'chori Yisrael. B'ni B'chori Yisrael. You are thinking that maybe God was upset with Yaakov. In my mind, just say that catchphrase. I was on Yaakov's side at the beginning. I'm at Yaakov's side the whole time. This was part of the grand plan. B'ni B'chori Yisrael. The B'chor in my eyes was Yaakov. You should always know that. Don't forget. What Yaakov did to Esav, I want it to happen. That was supposed to happen. And don't doubt it for one second. B'ni B'chori Yisrael. These are my things. I just wanted to say, because we mentioned this week about what was the need for the Pasuk by Eliphaz the Shivcha. What was the Pasuk again? About the Simna Hoysa Pilegesh L'Eliphaz Ben Esav. I mentioned to you, what is the whole reason for the pasuk? There's no need for that pasuk. It gives us information that what is the reason for it. But of course, we know nothing in the Torah is extra. So what I said, Chaim Volozhin mentions over here that the reason, the necessity for the pasuk is to tell us about a future situation is, we have, it says in the Chumash, Lo Sisa'ev Adomi. We're not supposed to come after Edom ki yochichohu. Lo sasayiv mitzri, ki gero yisi biartso, but lo sasayiv Edomi ki yochichohu. Don't do it. And then we come along to Bishalach, and it says, ki mocho emche zecher amolek, and we have a mitzvah, mechias amolek, in the end of Kiseitse, we say it. So it's a stira menehu bay. So it has to tell us that she was upilak sho ushmaru uma. Who was Amalek? Amalek was an Edomite, yes. I mean, so we would think he's Esav's grandson. But the reality is, no, he wasn't. He was, Ufilak Sho Shmaruma. He was from a Pilegesh, not a real wife. He was not really part of Bnei Esav, so he's not an Edomite. So it's perfectly fine when we say Macho Emche Ezecher Amalek, because he was from a Pilegesh, not from an actual wife. And just one last thing, sidelight that I don't go for in general, is that Rivka and Devorah, what was the whole idea of why does this is Vatamas Devorah Menekes Rivka? Where is it doing over here? So just triggers. The Abarbanel makes an interesting point. It says, how come, what was the thing? He says, Devorah was with Yaakov at this point in time. That's why it mentions it over here, because he was traveling with Yaakov. How did she get there? Because Yaakov, when he finally, who gave Yaakov, he came to him, God told him that it's time you go back home. But what happens, it says, Rivka says at the end of Toldos, so who is going to come? Who came to warn? Who came to tell Yaakov to come home? But it was Devorah who came for Yaakov, or alternately to say that your mother passed away. And she came to say, unfortunately, I have bad news for you. Your mother, Rivka, passed away. And now she was coming to tell Yaakov because he was on his way home. And then she died at that time. So this other, I forgot who it was, says that how come it's we have the whole thought process of Rivka and Devorah, that when it says Vatamas Devorah, we're even thinking of Rivka here, and it says because Alon Bachus is Loshon Rabim and various things of that nature, so we get to that. But the point is, in all of Navi, the name Devorah is spelled Mole with a Vav after the Vase. In this particular, the only place in all of Tanakh, it's spelled Choser, because the letters of Devorah and Rivka are exactly the same, and a Dalet and a Kuf from Rivka, the only letter that's interchangeable is that a Dalet and a Kuf, and Be'at Bash, a Dalet and a Kuf are Mischalfos, so Devorah is alternately Rivka as well, with the same letters. All right, I leave it here.
It's also
Yosef. Oh, yeah? Okay. Thank you. Rabbi, oh, that's the Benin Chor Yisrael is the Lude Nisan. That's Rabbi Alpha. Who? Rabbi